desire to do that which is right before His eyes. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles up to two places today. And two places, we're going to be in Romans in chapter 5 is where we're going to be. Romans in chapter 5. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to make things real easy for everyone today. And so we're in Romans in chapter 5. And take your Bibles, if you will, in 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to hold our place there. That's the only time I'm going to ask you to turn today. And then what's going to happen, guys, is we're going to refer back to these verses and break them down throughout the message. A little bit of a different message, I would say. I knew what I wanted to preach on, knew how and I wanted to preach it. And it wasn't until about 3:30 this morning did the Lord really give me what needed to be said today. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for His always being on time. Amen. Romans chapter 5, as we have already read in our morning reading today, read with me again if you will. Romans 5 verse 19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Look over in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 4, notice what the Bible says here in verse 4. It says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Beloved, I want to speak to you today on amazing grace. Amazing grace. Father in heaven, I come to you this morning and I pray that you would make a mighty difference in the lives of everyone present this morning. I ask of you today that if you will, dear Lord, would you please, in a wonderful, mighty, and glorious way, shed your light upon your holy scriptures, Father. All we have in this world today, other than the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit of God, which is in us, is the book that you have given us, the inspired, preserved Word of God, and that's what we are to live our life by. Father, I know that we can kick against it. I know that we can try to run from it. But Father, no matter where we go, there it is. I pray this morning that as we begin to peel back the layers of these verses today, as we begin to look at how amazing Thy grace truly is in our own lives, that You would help us this morning, Father, not only realize the depth of Your love, the magnificent grace that You've given us, Your marvelous mercy, help us realize, Father, the level of our gratitude that we need to aim for and the exercise of such grace that You have given us. Lord, I love You and I thank You for this opportunity. I take it not lightly and pray now that You would move. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Beloved, Amazing Grace is not only listed as the top hymn everyone should know, but it's one of the most popular hymns of all time. As a matter of fact, it may even be the most popular. I personally kind of think that it is, but in the data that I have looked for and the numbers that I have found, I mean, it's been listed as the top hymn every single year for as long as I could go back, or within the top hymns, I should say, as long as I've been keeping records. I mean, within this most cherished hymn that Daisy just played, and I pray that you sing at your heart, and John Newton, the author, John Newton's own heartfelt expression of gratitude to God is found. These are the words of his breaking moment when God helped him turn from a profane and wicked life unto the Lord Jesus Christ, saving both his life here, his eternal life, his immediate life, but thirdly, probably saving the lives of millions after that with just his testimony alone. Newton would eventually fight against the ills of slavery, and slavery of any kind, mind you. Later in life, Newton became a supporter and the inspiration of William Wilberforce's fight and led to pass the British Slave Trade in 1807. It abolished the Slave Trade Act in the British Empire. But friend, I want us to stop and think before we go into the Scriptures today, before we even get into maybe looking at Newton's life and the application, and his beautiful testimony. I mean, the original Amazing Grace had well over 9 verses written. I think I have looked up to somewhere it may have had 14, if you can get a hold of the original writing that John Newton had written for Amazing Grace. And we typically sing only 4 stanzas. But it's a beautiful hymn. It's a beautiful hymn because it's his personal testimony written down. Friend, the pull, the allure of sin is strong. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes encompasses everything that we battle against day in and day out. Sometimes even unaware. It's a spiritual battle that we must understand. And it's occurring even when we feel like we are smooth sailing in life. Concerning our text this morning, both of them, it is a great truth that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Listen, that is a great truth. It's written by the other half of the sons of thunder, John. We know the Apostle John the Beloved. He writes it in his first epistle, as we've already read today in 1 John chapter 4 in verse 4. And yet equally truthful did the chosen Apostle Paul in AD 58 write, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound," in Romans 5 and in verse 20. Those are truths, guys, that you can't get away from. Those verses are as true as John 3:16. They are as true as Romans chapter 5, verse 8. They are as true as Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. They're as true as Romans chapter 6, verse 7. They're as true as every other scripture found in the 66 books of the preserved and purified, inspired Word of God. John Newton would experience both of these truths. Newton had rejected his mother's teachings of Jesus Christ and the Bible and was responsible of infecting and even deterring many, many sailors away from the saving power of the Holy Scripture, mocking the Scriptures out, making fun of them, making light of them. He had given himself over to a life of profanity, a life of coarseness, a life of utter debauchery. His ship, known as the Greyhound, had been thrashing about the North Atlantic storm for over a week. Its canvas sails were ripped and the wood on one side of the ship had been torn away and splintered. The sailors had little hope of survival, but they mechanically worked the pumps trying to keep the vessel afloat. On the 11th day of the storm, Sailor John Newton was too exhausted to pump any longer, so he was tied to the helm and tried to hold the ship to its course. From 1 o'clock until midnight, he was at that helm. With the storm raging fiercely, Newton had time to think. His life seemed to be in utter ruins, and it was. And the storm was beaten down, but he looked and evaluated his life, and it seemed to be nothing more than a wreck. Matter of fact, wrecked as bad as this battered ship was. And he was trying to steer through the storm. Since the age of 11, John Newton had lived a life at sea. In his own mind, he was beyond retribution. In his own mind, he was beyond saving. In his own mind, he was beyond hope. And yet, while he was at that helm, in the hours of this storm, his mind began to turn to Jesus Christ. As he reflected to what his life had become, as he pondered the actions of his own life and then looked back at the words of his dear mother, he would later find a New Testament. He would read Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, where Jesus Christ said, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Despite his life, despite his rejection, despite his ill choices and wicked life, this verse assured him the Lord was still hearing his voice if he would just cry out to him. Barnhouse once defined grace in the form of the acronym that we all know today: God's riches at Christ's expense. And beloved, I thank God for both truths that we're looking at in these verses today. I thank God for His grace. in my own personal life, in my own past, in my own life, in my current choices, my current state today, I thank God for His grace. And I do not take it lightly. I thank God for the truth of greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I thank God this morning that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There is no better explanation of how a slave-trading, perverse, blasphemous, and profane-driven man would be given the opportunity to turn to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ outside of knowing that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's the only explanation that you can remotely come up with this morning of how this man, the author of, I would say, the most famous hymn ever written, would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The fact of where sin has abounded, much more grace has as well. The fact that that is true, it is true because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Every age, every generation, every race, every culture has fallen from the glory of God. Yet, His grace is still greater than all my sin. That's an amen moment right there. No matter where we are, no matter what age we lived in, no matter who we are, no matter what language we speak, no matter what land we live on, no matter how we look or what we've done or where we've been, His grace is greater than all my sin. Amen. Now, before you begin to evaluate John Newton, now I'm saying this because this is human nature. Before you begin to evaluate John Newton and say in your heart, well, I'm not a slave trader. Amen. Before you begin to evaluate John Newton and say in your heart, well, I'm not blasphemous, I'm not profane, a vile word never comes out of my mouth. Before this happens and you undercut the great worth of grace, my friend, if you have ever placed anything in front of God, you are just as vile, just as blasphemous, and just as sinful as poor old John Newton sat at that helm from 1 o'clock until midnight. What I mean by that, beloved, if you look at your time, God has given you 24 hours. Everybody's given the same amount of time. When you say, I don't have time, that's a defeatist attitude. When you say, you do have time, you choose where you appropriate those times. You decide what is most important in your life. And therefore, you make time for it. And am I not just speaking simple this morning? Is that not just a basic truth? Nobody in here has ever said, I don't have time to eat. I don't have time to get dressed. You don't walk outside naked because you don't have time to get dressed. Now, do you? Nobody says, I don't have time to stop and get fuel and then run out of fuel on the road. I've ran out of fuel many, 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 many times. It wasn't because I didn't have time. It's because I did not want to stop because I hate stopping getting fuel. Just being honest. Time. If you've ever placed anything, and guys, I am emphasizing the word anything in front of God, in front of His church. Guys, I know this is not popular, and I know I don't preach on church attendance all that much. And we live in a land here, guys, where they probably have not preached on church attendance in years on end, and it's taken lightly, and it shows because the churches have closed time. There's more churches closed than there are open. There's more empty church buildings in Wales than there are open, functioning, active churches. I know it's going to get quiet. I understand that. But how do you expect a church to stay open if people don't come? Amen, preacher? If your commitments are greater than that which the local church has to offer, you are putting something before God. You should make an excuse not to attend something else, amen, for church. And for crying out loud, you look at our church, we have 3 services a week, 3 hours a week, and that includes Wednesday morning Bible study. It ain't asking much, man. Anybody can do that. Prayer time. I can promise you this. I'm going to speak to the men here just for a moment. What I want you to do, those of you that are married, y'all married, And you can try this, Daniel, maybe with your mama or with your sister or whatever. Riley, and you can try it with your mama as well. I want you to go, when you get home today, I want you to ignore your better half all day long. Just don't say a word to her. Daisy's thinking Pastor's lost his mind. And I'm making a little bit light of it, but I want to ask you, how well would that go over? It wouldn't go over well at all, would it? It's the same thing with our Lord. When we say, I don't have time to pray, we're saying, I don't have time to talk to you, God. And yet you let a storm come into our life, boy, the first thing we do, we're dropping on our knees praying. We're sending the messages out. Guys, it's just straight talk this morning, just being honest with you about this grace and what God has given us. Same with our Bible reading. You don't have to read 40 chapters a day to be in the will of God. Just read something. I typically have my Bible with me everywhere I go. And in today's world, you've got it on your phone, your iPad, you got it everywhere you want it. But I'll tell you, I have my physical Bible typically with me just about everywhere I go. I stick it in my bag, and I take that bag typically with me. Those of us a little gray, we remember that commercial, a Carl Malden commercial. It was an American Express commercial. He used to be on a TV show back in the 60s called The Streets of San Francisco, all right? He had that big nose, remember? And he had an American Express credit card commercial. He said, never leave home without it. Now, you guys don't know what I'm talking about because I'm older than most of you. Or maybe it wasn't a popular advert here. I'm saying all that to say this. When we try to look at John Newton and say, man, I ain't that bad. And yet we put anything in front of the house of God, we put anything in front of our Bible reading, we put anything in front of our prayer time, we got to be careful. Same thing with our treasure. I'm not going to harp on this for a long time, guys, but our treasure, our tithe, our offering, our missions, what we give and how we give, are we tipping God? There's a sign back here in the back that says, give to God what is right, not what is left. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you can't afford not to tithe correctly because one way or another, you're going to lose it. Amen? Again, I go back. We want local churches to be open. But we don't have local churches, number one, it's not the government's responsibility to support the local church. Amen, preacher? There's not a magic money tree out here. Amen? Missionaries are not going to be sent across the world today through government funding. That's not the government's responsibility. I don't want the government's money. The government's money has strings attached to it. Amen? What about our talents? God's given you talents. He's given everyone in here some type of a talent. He has. Are we using it for Him? Are we using it to help His gospel around the community? Are we using it to get the Word of God out today? What about our talents, my friend? Listen, we are all in the same boat, no pun intended, with John Newton. We're unworthy of God's amazing grace. And yet, you know what He did? He said, here you go. Here's my grace. Here's my riches at my Son's expense. It is truly amazing, isn't it? Now, the message I want to bring to you this morning is based on these two verses that we've looked at, 1 John 4:4 and Romans chapter 5, verse 20. And it's concerning this magnificent grace that God has given us, this amazing grace that we find that is in our lives today. But it's based on the front end of that grace, and it's based on the back end of those beautiful truths that we find. The truth of greater is He, and where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And I mean both of these attributes in our Christian life, they make great preaching. But the meat of the message needs application today. You see, my friend, we must have a steady diet in this wonderful area of grace. So the first thing I want us to see is the front line of it today. The front line of grace looks at Romans chapter 5, verse 20. It looks at where, the Bible says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So we're looking at that location, where. And then number two, it's also looking at the greater aspect of 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So we're looking at these two aspects, the where that grace abounded and the greater of who God and what he is. Beloved, to fully partake of the element that will heal, that will seal, that will peel that back into our life is a factor of faith this morning. That's the front line of grace today. It is faith. Yes, sin abounds in the heart of man. Grace abounds in the heart of God. And yes, God has given a measure of faith to every single man. Therefore, the front line of the gift of grace and the greatness of God abounds in faith. Faith, not signs, not wonders, not magic tricks, not hocus pocus, but faith. Amen. Faith is the front line of your grace, which is where sin abounds, and the root of the greater is he. This is the grace, guys, that abounds in the heart of every believer. This is the grace that God gives in our life through his faith, through our faith this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Is that not grace today? Whosoever? That means it doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter what country you hail from. It doesn't matter what, and it doesn't matter anything at all. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I, for one, am thankful for that. Now, for those out there in the world who think that you were chosen because of who and what you are, and therefore somebody else not chosen, you are dead wrong. Amen. Whosoever can only be whosoever. Amen. I mean, can you imagine? You can only be saved if you got a bald head. Man, we couldn't find clippers today to save our life by shaving our head trying to get in. Amen. It's nothing that we've done. The front line of grace today is the faith that God has given us to place in him and become that whosoever. That's grace. Romans 10, verse 9 is the action of that faith, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, guys, this is not rocket science, but it is grace this morning, isn't it? Isn't it grace that you can make that profession of faith, that you can confess that Jesus Christ is God and that Jesus Christ died for your sins and was risen from the grave? Isn't it grace that you've been allowed to make that confession true and be saved and born again? Absolutely, that's grace. That's the front line of it. It's not enough to claim grace, grace, grace. The element of grace is held in the arms of faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If you don't have the word of God, you don't have salvation. If you don't have the word of God, your faith can't be placed in anything whatsoever. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't get any plainer. It doesn't get any clearer than that today. But my friend, that is still grace. Just as amazing grace is probably the most known or most heard and most sang hymn in all the world and probably all history. I don't have the actual facts of that. I just know since they've been keeping record, it shows them in the top 10 list, amen, on every single one of those things. Just as that's the truth, this Bible right here, this King James Bible, has outsold every single book in the history of publishing. Amen, preacher. That's grace, my friend. That's beautiful grace. That's amazing grace today. It's not enough to live in a world and claim greater is he. It's not enough in the world to say grace much more abounds. It must dwell in the confines of your faith this morning through the hearing of the word of God. That this morning is amazing grace. You see, John Newton was on that helm, steering that beaten up old ship, going through those storms on that 11th day. And when he was there for all of those hours, and he looked back at his life that had probably been miserable from the age of 11, if not before. And he remembered those words of his mother when she read that word of God to him. And when he found that New Testament, he read that passage in Luke. He read the word of God. That truth became evident in his life. How did it do that? Faith. And it's grace that God gave him the opportunity to be convicted and exercise that faith on his word. So the front line of faith, the front line of grace is faith this morning. But our faith requires a foundation, beloved. Our faith requires a foundation. Beloved, our faith is only good as the foundation that it is built upon. Concerning this amazing grace, our foundation, now we're looking back at our two verses, our foundation is the He of 1 John 4:4, which is greater is He that is in me, who is the one given the power to the grace which did abound. Amen. Now we're looking at the word abound in Romans 5:20. So, the foundation is He of 1 John 4:4, and the fact that this grace abounds, it abounds in our life, Romans 5:20, and the word abound, and I want you to really grab a hold of this, the word abound means to exist in large numbers. Which here in a little while, you're going to see the beauty of Romans 5:20 in a great way. We've got to look at the front line must be built upon a foundation. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Jesus Christ is the foundation. He is an unmovable foundation at that. Many have tried and their efforts are in vain, but on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? Stinking sand. Amen? I stand on solid rock of the Lord Jesus. That is our foundation today. The same rock that we find in Matthew 16 that Jesus Christ said He would build His local church upon is the same rock that Moses smote in the wilderness to quench Israel's thirst. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, "And did all drink of that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Amen. Christ is the foundation. Jesus Christ is the rock. And the church today, the local New Testament church, is built upon Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord, when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace did much more abound in the life, no matter how bad the storm blew, no matter how bad the sin came. Amen to that. Praise the Lord on that stormy night in 1748 that a wicked sailor who had seen the travesty of human nature left unkept, strapped to a helm, began to hear the words of his mother and the answered prayers of her in years gone past. Praise God for that today. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I'm thankful today that faith is not some cheap byword. You hear people say sometimes, "Well, you just have to have faith." No, you don't just have to have faith. You've got to have faith in a foundation that is unmovable, and that's Jesus Christ and Him alone. I'm thankful that faith is not something just received without only to just to help a person in single situations, but it's something that you receive. This precious grace is built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ that you receive that is good for all eternity. Amen. Aren't you glad today that you don't have to keep coming back to Jesus Christ every time you need Him? Because you know what? We need Him every single day. People struggle with faithfulness. They struggle with everything in this life today. I mean, my goodness, you know, we would love to come to God and say, "Lord, help me with my faithfulness." And then the storms blow in and we go, "Lord, get me out of this storm." No, He's putting you in the storm to make you faithful. Amen. To build upon that foundation. The word of which faith must come through to receive this precious, amazing grace. It's from the beginning. It's before the foundation of the world. Therefore, grace and faith is the front line and the foundation of Jesus Christ, which enables the believer to hold to the verse, "Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world." Because He's before everything was. Amen. That's not the end. Remember I said in the beginning here this morning that we're looking at the front end, which is the front line. And we're going to look at the back end to "Greater is He," and as well as the grace which did much more abound. So, beloved, not only do we have the front line, which is that front line of faith, not only do we have the foundation, which is Jesus Christ that we're building it upon, but there has to be a finish line today. There has to be a finish line. And it's the finish line where we get to experience the much more of Romans 5:20. It's the finish line that we get to experience the "in me" of 1 John 4:4. "Greater is He that is in me." Amen. "Where sin did abound, much more, grace did much more abound." Amen. You see, beloved, within Luke 12:48, the Bible tells me, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." There's something about that word "much" in the Bible. If grace abounds, which already means by itself exist in large number, the word abound does, then I want you to imagine this with me here real quick this morning. Much more abounded. It said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So abound already means existing in large numbers, but we're talking about much more existing in large numbers. Think about that here this morning. Think about what grace really is and truly to you and I today, personally. What it means is where sin abounded, was greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. We know that without faith it's impossible to please him. There is a finish line that we must cross in our Christian life. And we're going to cross that because much more grace is in our life. But with much more grace, there's much more responsibility. That's why it's amazing grace. That's why it's not a cheap byword that people want to say, well, you just got to have faith. You just got to. It's amazing grace. And the more grace that you have been given in your life, the more responsibility you are given as well. We don't want to hear that. What we want to hear today is give me what I don't deserve, and I'm just going to keep it and live off of it. Salvation is free. We know that, guys. I don't want you to leave this morning thinking salvation is not a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. It is. It came at the ultimate price of Jesus Christ. It is given to you and I today with a greater responsibility than even the prophets in the Old Testament people had. I'm thankful of the grace that we live in today. I'm thankful for the liberty that we have been given. But beloved, with liberty comes responsibility. Under this grace and under this greater is he this morning, what used to be the sin of adultery now is a matter of the heart. Jesus Christ said what? If a man looketh unto a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery in his heart with her already. It used to be the physical act in the Old Testament, but today under this grace, it's just the thoughts of the heart that you're convicted of. Beloved, what used to be the sin and the act of murder is now a matter of thoughts. Amen. The Bible tells us that if you've ever hated your brother, you're a murderer. Amen. There's a greater responsibility under this grace. Now you're going, ho, hang on, I didn't sign on for that. Yes, you did sign on to it. You couldn't choose to be born in this time era. I understand. You couldn't choose to be born in the church age. You couldn't choose to be born in the age of grace. But I guarantee you this, you'd much rather have this grace today that comes with a greater responsibility than try to live in that world before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what used to be sin and the act of rebellion is now a matter of the mind. Well, Jesus Christ rebuked those Pharisees, did he not? They murmured in their own hearts. They murmured in their own minds. And Jesus Christ rebuked them for it, did he not? Yes, much grace has been given, and yes, grace comes with a price, and it's called responsibility, beloved. We live in a time when relativism reigns in the hearts and the minds of men today. Whatever feels good, tastes good, sounds good, whatever you feel like doing, they just do. If I don't feel like doing this, I won't do it. If I don't feel like going here, I won't do it. Who cares? I'm just going to sit around and do nothing. Even among so-called Christians today, they're holding to the thoughts and teachings purely based on convenience rather than conviction. And beloved, it's seen in their actions. It costs, my friend. It comes with a price. And by the way, conviction comes from the Holy Ghost, not the hand of man. I can go ahead and tell you right now, I'm not trying to guilt trip anyway. I'm just preaching anyone at all. I'm just preaching the Word of God today. So if you get convicted today, that's the Holy Spirit of God. Don't take it out on the messenger. Don't take it out on the Bible. Don't take it out on the church. Don't take it out on those around you. Take it within yourself and make the changes that you need. Amen. It's amazing grace, guys. Listen, you may have received it for free, but it came with a cost and it's been given with responsibility. I understand today that we live in a world that's taught by humanists within a system that feels as if you need to meet people where they are. And listen, this is always the excuse to justify sin and worldly pleasures and a carnal convenience in this life. Let me ask you this question today. I'm almost done, guys. I'm just about finished. I've got about a half page left with about 5 minutes at the most. The last time you adjusted your schedule, whether it was work, whether it was recreation, whatever. When's the last time you adjusted your schedule to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? David Gibbs Jr. said something years ago. I heard him preach. He was preaching in Taze Valley Baptist Church in West Virginia. And this goes back 20 years ago probably. I've said this to you before. I'm repeating myself. I realize that. But he made this point. He says, he was talking about church, guys. He was talking about church. But this applies to everything. He said, you got to write it on your calendar. And I keep a calendar in that book over there. Did you know I still write down 11 a.m. Sunday morning? You know I still write down 11 a.m. Wednesday morning, 6 p.m. Wednesday night? I put them down. I block it off. But I can block it off all I want in there in pencil on that piece of paper. It's got to be blocked off here in the heart. Amen. You know I mark down on there Bible, writing scripture in the morning time before I go anywhere? I mark it off on there. But if it ain't marked off right here, something's going to come up and take it away from it. David Gibbs Jr. said, you got to write it upon, you got to write it on your calendar. What he meant, you got to write it on the calendar of your heart. Amen. You know what Sunday is? Sunday's church day. Our church meets on Wednesday night. Wednesday night is church night. Amen. Some churches meet on Thursday. Some meet on Tuesday. And whatever your local church does, but commit to the local New Testament church. Don't be a vagabond moving everywhere under the sun, man. Adjust your schedule. Be committed to the house of God and the ways of God. Man, listen, I'm not even talking about Bible reading or prayer time or even outreach. Those are necessity and we need those things. But you got to be committed to the house of God. How we treat our local church is how we treat grace that much more abounds. How we treat our local church is how we treat greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. It is grace and mercy this world seeks, beloved. And it is grace and mercy that God has provided through His Son. And it is Son who said upon this rock, speaking of Himself, I will build my church. They're only going to be found on His terms. They're only going to be found by His Word on the front line, by His Son on the foundation, and His price at the finish line. For John Newton found this grace and received the greater is He that came in unto him on the day at that helm, 21 March 1748. A day that Newton would remember for the rest of his life. He wrote, and I quote, "On that deep day, on that day, the Lord sent from on high and delivered me out of deep waters." Now, the deep waters he was talking about was the deep waters of sin. The deep waters of a hell-bound destined life. These deep waters was the sin in his life. From this day forward, he was a new creature and committed his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just a passing fad or a cry for help in a circumstance. His life was led by conviction, not convenience. His life was led by commitment. And many years later, as an old man, Newton wrote in his diary on 21 March 1805 now, he says, "Not well able to write, but I endeavor to observe the return of this day with humiliation, prayer, and praise." Beloved, only God's amazing grace could and would take a rude, profane, slave-trading sailor and transform him into a child of God. A man who never ceased to stand in awe at God's work in his life. A man who never rose above where he was on that fateful night in 1748. A man who never looked back at what used to be, but learned what was and was to come. Would to God that we would do the same today. Would to God that we would look at His amazing grace this morning and the testimony that John Newton held and that we would sink our heels into the spurs. They would tighten up our pew belts and that we would be committed through the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, obeying and trusting His Word and the life that God has given us, and He has gifted it to us. Would to God today that during the prayer time, you would recommit and rededicate your life to Him, to serve Him, to adjust things, whatever need to be adjusted, to be committed to Him at the highest calling in your life. My friend, that is amazing grace. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time and this opportunity this morning. And I come to you today. And as we are sat in our pews this morning, as we are here today, having heard your word, Father, I pray that you would do with the Holy Scriptures as you would see fit, that you would, Lord, just touch people where they need to be touched. Speak to hearts in the places they need to be spoken to. Father, help us evaluate our own lives, and to wherever we may be found wanting, I pray this morning that we would make that adjustment in our days to be pleasing to you, that we would take on this responsibility and this glorious and beautiful and wonderful grace. No matter the level of sin that we have in our lives or done in the past, dear God, let us look today at amazing grace with a grateful heart, thankful that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But Lord, not stopping there, understanding that through that faith that you've given us, built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world, which will allow us and enable us to get to the finish line. Lord, I love you and I thank you. I've done the best job that I could do today. I just simply ask you to please, you work the results, Father. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. I trust today God was good to you to preach and teach in His Word. Hope and pray that He has.